It's time for the Freakin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web or right here on Robinhood Radio. Do we only have Tim this morning?
I think so.
Now, let Greg know, for some reason, I just got his text to me about an hour ago. An hour ago. I don't know why it gets hung up, so tell him I will get back to him definitely.
Okay, I definitely will. He is actually in Columbus. He is up there. You know, we were there to visit his mom before Labor Day, and we had to leave early because of the hurricane. So he went back up for a week to give his brother and sister a little bit of a break so he can help. She's in rehab, and now she might have to go back to the hospital. It's one of those very fluid kind of situations. So he's there to help, and he's feeling good about that. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well,
so you get me today.
Okay, well, that's good. All right. Well, that's fine. Either one of you is fine, more than fine. So what's on me schedule for today?
So there's a couple of things. Do you remember last year when that street artist, Banksy, had that piece at Sotheby's and it was Shred? I mean, everybody remembers that, correct?
Yes.
So Sotheby's they're coming up with another piece by Banksy that is coming up again in October. I think it's in 3 weeks. I just posted it on my Facebook page. It is called the Devolved Parliament, and it just shows the parliament members as chimpanzees. And the chimpanzee is one of the images that has made Banksy famous. He has used this in his artwork an awful lot. And actually, one of the pieces that sold for a record, it sold for $1.870 million, so $1,870,000, also had a chimpanzee in it. And he is quoted, it's funny, it says, "You paint 100 chimpanzees and they still call you a gorilla artist." His quote for this, which, you know what, it's just the way the public sees it. Yeah. The interesting thing about this, though, is that this was on display, and he did this, and it was going to be on display on Brexit Day, which was going to happen on March 29th of this year. And so the museum had it out, and now it's actually going up for auction. So interesting, it's 13 feet wide. So, and I'm sure it's probably a good 6 feet tall, just if it's that wide. And interesting piece. So that'll be, we're going to watch that and see if that self-destructs or what happens with the bidding. But they do predict that it will break that record of $1.8 million that was set back in 2008, and that was also at Sotheby's, but it was part of a benefit auction, which, you know, it's hard to really gauge that because people are getting a benefit from making that kind of donation. So it'll be interesting to see what this ultimately sells for. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, we talk a lot about authentication. And as appraisers, we are not authenticators. And whether it's in the art world, whether it's in mechanical banks, whether it's in any whatever it is you're collecting, any field, there are people that will offer opinions. And you would hope that their opinions are based on facts, that they're well-schooled, even with antique or collector cars. You know, is this the original engine? Are these the original parts? All of these things go into the authentication of a piece. But as appraisers, we're not authenticators. And oftentimes we are also tasked with trying to find or consult with people who do this. Well, there's a company that has really been on the rise for the last I think they started 3 years ago. And you'll see their commercials on television. What they're doing is they are selling luxury goods like bags and shoes and belts and all different kinds of designer pieces. And they're called The Real Real. Well, The Real Real just got called out after a big expose where several of their authenticators, well, air quotes, authenticators, who worked for the company actually were just copywriters. They wrote copy. So they were journalists. They were given, and they were interviewed for this article, and they were given what they were saying is a quick half hour. You know, here's what to look for, and you have a quota. You have to get 150 items up on the site, and you have to move through this, move through this, move through this. And a number of them was saying that there were incentives for the more that you put up on the site, and because of that, there were a lot of things that slipped through, and apparently they have been brought to court. So the big thing here is, and I say this all the time whenever we come across anything with authentications, is authentications are opinions. It's somebody's opinion, and it's not a guarantee. And you need to, as a collector, really educate yourself on what it is that, whatever it is you're collecting, what are the red flags to look for? And I bring this up because also an auctioneer friend of mine sent me some photographs. So he sent me an email and he said, Tim, I'm looking at this collection and she has 10 original Picassos. She has one Van Gogh and one Monet. And I thought, oh my God, this could be the mother load. But really, if somebody has all of that, what are the chances of those being real? And I said, well, send me photos and be sure to send the front and the back of the painting. And let me take a look at everything and see what's what. So I get these photos. And interestingly enough, on the back of a lot of these canvases were ink stamps. You know how you get like an ink stamp that says paid or something? That ink stamp on the back of the canvases, ones they were stamped all over with Sotheby's, Christie's. It had all of these different gallery tags and stickers and all these different things on the back of the canvas. And also there was one that said it had Sotheby's stamp and it said inventory number, and somebody wrote on the back of the canvas. And I told him, I said, you know, when I look at that, there are so many red flags. Is that somebody is trying to make this scream, hey, this is real, this is real, this is real. And when you see that, when you see that they're trying so hard, those are some indicators. And these are some of the things that we pick up as appraisers in the field, is to say, I'm not saying whether this is real or not. However, one of the pieces I was able to find that the actual piece is in the Picasso Museum. So there is no way that could be the real one. And when I told him that and all those things, he said, yeah, you know, when she told me all those big name artists, I don't know a lot about art, but I just thought, wow, it either could be a lot of money or a whole lot of nothing. And I said, look, you could tell her if those are great and if those are real, those should be sold at Christie's or Sotheby's. I said, give them, have her talk to them, and they can talk her through why they're not right. But it's fascinating. It's people want to, the biggest red flag on that last story was that she had some sort of illness, and so she was in bed recovering, and she bought all these things on the internet. And I thought, oh my goodness, darling, what are you doing? She said, oh yeah, nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this. And we said, well, yeah, here you go. Here you go.
There's a reason why nobody
knows. There is a reason why nobody was bidding on these, yes, and that you got them cheap. So interesting. Some interesting stories. And as we go into the fall, which will start on Monday, the first day of fall, I can't believe it. This year is just like flying by. But there are a number of big sales that are coming up. And one actually is coming up this week at Julian's. They are doing I'm not going to be there, unfortunately, but they are doing property from the estate of B.B. King, which is really fascinating. I was looking through the sale, and it's on liveauctioneers.com. And there are a number of what you would expect from a rock and roll person, a number of handwritten lyrics, track lists, Also costumes, you know, all of his jackets. I mean, when I think of B.B. King, I think of the different jackets that he had too, because I wear those flashy jackets when I do the fundraising auctions. So I remember that, but then also his guitars and his coveted Lucille. And there are a couple of prototype Lucilles, and there's a mini Lucille, there's a stage Lucille. So that it'll be fascinating to see what those all sell for. Plus a number of Grammy nomination certificates, as along with some Grammy nomination medals. But I'm sure they're not selling the Grammys, because there have been several lawsuits that the Grammys have gone after estates that have tried to sell the Grammys. So I, you know, just like with the Oscars, they frown on, let's just say they frown on putting those pieces out up for auction, as opposed to the Emmys or the Golden Globes. They're like, yeah, okay, go ahead, you can sell them. So it'll be interesting to see what this sale brings and how that does, because especially with the passing of several other rock and roll artists this last week. So things are moving along. There's a lot going on in the business. You know, it's never a dull day, I'll tell you that.
I just want to say, this is a voice from the past, I want to say happy birthday. Hey. And
thank you.
I also want to just, going back for 1 second to that wonderful red flag-ridden story that you told about the
Jan
Picasso. Do you think that it is safe to say that people should be wary of buying fine art off the internet?
I think it depends on the source of where you're buying the fine art and how well it's been vetted. You know, when I pursued and said, where did she get this? She said she was looking on little estate sales or the smaller places. And I will tell you that when I was even working with Julian's and putting their street art auctions together, I would receive unsolicited a number of paintings from all over the world that were purported to be original Rothko's or several, and I'm just blanking right now, but several different, and Picasso's, and you know, all these different paintings that I thought, why are you contacting me? I said, great, I'd be more than happy to sell this. Show me the authenticity that you had this looked at by either the foundation or by somebody. And of course, I'd never hear back from them, because they're hoping that somebody will say, oh yeah, I can help you sell that, and I have a buyer for that, and then help in that regard. So when you think about it, it's like, well, and why, and where did you buy these? So that's why I always ask, where did you get this and how did you come about it? Yes, there are still those finds, and we come across those. We talked about that last week, you know, at thrift stores or at auctions. But
those are few and far between.
Not like that. Right. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. How have you been, Jill? Good to hear from you.
Managing. We've been
good.
We've been.
Her dogs run her morning.
Right. Yeah, Tuesday mornings are not my best mornings.
I get it. I got my girl out, and she's been my cuddle bunny while Greg's on the road. So I understand.
All right, I'll say hello to Greg for us, and we'll speak to you next week.
Right. Wish him the best.
Definitely will. Best to you, and thank you. Have a great week.
Take care, Tim. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack, TQAG.com. On the web.